Everyone, and welcome to a special mini episode of Between Realities. My name is Alex VR. I am joined here by my co-host Skiva. Skiva, how the hell are you, my good sir?
What's up, buddy? How you doing, man? I'm doing really good.
I'm doing great. This is exciting. This is our season's over, but we are uploading a special pre-recorded episode that we have decided to do. Because if you're not unaware, I, Alex, now am working with BHaptics, the haptic feedback company who makes all of the wearable haptic technology that is used in VR. And it's all extremely amazing and it's super exciting. So we thought, what better way to help kind of kick this off than to invite my superior, the director of business development of BHaptics, onto the show. So let's get her on here real quick before we go too far. Please, everybody, welcome to Between Realities, Ms. Jennifer Lee.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Jen.
Hey, Jen. Thanks for coming.
I know. This is my first podcast ever.
So wow, that's exciting.
Sweating.
Sweating and shaking. I saw you were drinking out of a coffee cup. Do you have like some tequila in there just to like calm things down here a little?
It's a pretty chill show.
Yeah, it's so chill. And I mean, you know, it couldn't possibly be any worse than like being put on the spot, like, you know, during all those interviews that you've done at conventions and stuff like that, could it?
I didn't really enjoy that much last time.
So we met in January at CES. All three of us were there in Vegas for CES in January, and that's where Steve and I met Jen. She was there, of course, with the whole BHaptics team, and they were demoing everyone, and naturally we were there with the camera and the microphone, and I did an interview with Jen, and we had a great time, and we connected, and fast forward a year later, and here we are. There's so many exciting things happening with BHaptics, And that's what we're here to talk about today. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you. So Alex just joined us, and then we are making a lot of videos now, and he's managing our Discord as well as all the social channels. And it's so much fun now. I'm enjoying my work now because of you.
Oh, come on. I can barely handle that, Jen. Thank you. I'm having a great time. This is definitely the dream for me. You know, I mean, I got into all of this stuff with the intention basically of getting this job. You know, I wanted to be involved. I knew I wasn't about to be a developer or anything like that. So for me, this is dreams coming true. It's extremely exciting. Every single day I'm immersed in VR, and we're making videos and we're talking to developers, and I'm having a blast too. So this is pretty awesome. And you know, really the reason why you guys have brought me on is because you have this super exciting new product line that's coming out. And maybe before we talk about it, we can just quickly roll the promotional trailer that you guys have put together for the TacSuit X16 and the TacSuit X40. Do you have that handy, Skiva?
I do. Let's switch over to our trailer and
let's
play that for you guys.
Right, let's take a quick look at this.
All right. Man, that trailer just pumps me up. It's really good. The music, everything about it. Really. Wow. And, you know, the cool thing about it is I've obviously tried this stuff. I mean, not the new ones, but man, if you improved on this, get it. This is incredible. This makes it so much better. Everything.
Right. Great. We're wearing the DK3. So this vest that Skiva and I are currently rocking, which we've had for a little while now, is the older model. And now this is the new, the X40 and the X16. How has the response been to these new products coming out?
Well, it was amazing. They loved the idea of the price tag, and they're happy with the number of games integrated, such as Half-Life Alyx, Super Hot, Boneworks, Zero Calibre, and there are Phasmophobia coming soon, and so on. Nice. There will be over 70 game titles coming up soon. Yeah, so, and they are happy with the audio haptic support for the all platform. So you can just plug in and play every non-integrated games and customize frequency and threshold changes for real-time audio haptic conversion.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
You mentioned Phasmophobia. That game is too scary as it is. If I feel something touch me in that game, I might faint.
Right. Imagine the tactile face. Imagine the tactile face attachment with the fingers.
Man.
That goes in they slide in.
Too
scary.
So I'll tell you a funny story. So we got in touch with the devs, and then we were gonna make some haptic patterns for them. So so let's play this first and then find out what kind of haptic feedback we want. And then we joined, and then I was in the tutorial. It was the first time I ever tried this. It was all dark, couldn't even finish the tutorial. So I just gave up on making the haptic feedback.
But don't feel bad, because I couldn't finish the tutorial either. I was scared to death.
We had this conversation earlier today, and Skiva literally also could not get through the tutorial. Although he was in VR, and you weren't even in VR, were you, Jen? You saw that on flat screen. Oh, you were? Okay. Okay.
So I moved on to PC, and then I managed to grab the key, but opened the door, but as soon as I saw the TV, I just turned it.
That's too good. And you mentioned the audio to haptic feedback thing. That's actually something that you and I have talked about. We're going to make some videos showing off soon some of some console games and stuff using the audio to haptic feedback integration. And that's actually going to be pretty cool, because I think if you pick the right game, you really could get a lot out of using a haptic vest mm-hmm. with a flat screen experience. Again, you have to be careful, right? Because if it's an audio to haptic response, if you're like in a party and you have like somebody like chatting to you, like you don't want your vest vibrating to the words that someone's saying to you, you know? But if you're like, I imagine like a racing game, you know, or like a brutal first person shooter, like Doom or something like that. Like, I want to get into some of that stuff with the audio to haptic feedback and show off some of the capabilities, because I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. The best thing about our haptic suit is that it allows you to adjust the frequency so that it converts like the specific frequency that you want to convert. So if you want to feel the like really strong bass, you can adjust the frequency to the lower part, and then it'll just convert only the bass part. And also there are some like the default settings like for the rhythm and like bass and FPS games. So I think that's what like really differentiates our product from the other vests, mm-hmm. which are audio based.
And you know, one of the biggest things that I've heard, I mean, I've never had a Woozer before, but I've talked to people who have used B-Haptics and who have used things like Woozer and Subpack. And the word on the street is that there is an audio latency present with a lot of those that is not present in B-Haptics gear. Now, I can't speak for that from my own experience, but I have heard that from some trusted sources, and I believe it, because one is basically just like you're basically just wearing a wearable subwoofer, and the other one is like really taking the information and like delivering something on the other end, you know?
Yeah, so it's like totally different, hardware actually. We're using ERM motors to make the vibration, and they're using a whole different hoopers, so mm-hmm. hooper sound.
So mm-hmm. So the pre-orders started when?
9th.
On the 9th?
Yeah, it started on 9th and it goes for 1 month. So it will end in about a few days, 9th of December.
Yeah. How are we doing?
Really good. Really good.
That's good to hear.
I never seen like best selling so fast, so I was really pleased. So like we already sold out the December batch, and January batches are also selling out really fast.
Wow.
So
well, it's huge. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people wanted to get into this, right? But the problem a lot of people have is the $500 price tag of the vest, but you guys have knocked that way down. And that's, I bet that is really, I know a lot of people personally that are really excited because now they feel like it's, you know, for them, they can really get into it now. And really? Man, I'll tell you from personal experience, haptics make so, you want to talk about immersion. Wow, man. Like when you actually feel a bullet, or when you feel, you know, a face hugger and Half-Life Alyx hit your face for real. Oh man, it is awesome. It is very awesome.
It is awesome. Jen, why would you say wearable haptics are important when it comes to our immersive gaming?
Well, especially in VR, like unlike mobile, PC and console games, we can play 360 degrees. So unless we turn back as we get attacked by, like, you know, zombies from behind, we won't be able to recognize the attack instantly, mm-hmm. only with the audio-visual feedback. So we are filling in this gap, and we can deliver the direction of all the, you know, where the attacks mm-hmm. are coming from, types of attacks, you know, intensity of those attacks through haptic feedback. So I think it's just not just for fun, but it is like essential device which delivers information to the users.
That's a pretty good point. You know, when you mentioned like, because haptics, like if you're control, like, I don't know if you've ever, if someone listening out there has ever played Beat Saber or something and had the haptics and your controller stop working for a minute, it is weird. Like, it's so weird. Like, we actually rely so much on the haptics that exist in the controllers that we're holding that I think we often take it for granted. And there's only so much information that shake in your hand can deliver, right? You know, I've been wearing this vest, you know, for work for like the past 2.5 weeks, like every single day. And I've been in VR nonstop, you know, and I've really had like a full deep dive immersion look at the BHaptic stuff, and playing like Blade and Sorcery and like getting slashed across the back, it really does give you information that you're not used to getting. You know, it's like I'm like still getting used to like having that plethora of knowledge available for me. And I can only imagine what this would do in like a competitive gaming scene. You know, I figure it's like eventually if you have it, you know, you're basically going to force the meta to change. You know what I mean?
You know what I found interesting is that after getting used to playing with haptics on your body, and then you play a game that doesn't have haptics integration, you feel numb, like your body, like you're missing so much of the experience. So, you know, it just goes, it just shows that the haptics being provided just really bring it to the next level. And then once, you know, if you try it without it, it's kind of a bummer and you don't want to play without haptics anymore.
That's why I brought up the controller thing, because before the Rumble Pack, you never knew what it would be like. But now that we're used to it, we take it for granted. And the if Rumble it's not pack. There.
N64 right there.
Honestly, this whole thing feels full circle to me, because my first purchase of my whole life ever, the first thing I ever saved money for was a copy of Star Fox 64 with the Rumble Pack. Like my first purchase ever was in fact the first consumer available haptic device for video games. You know, like it's too good.
I remember how I tried the DualShock on the PlayStation, and it was a game changer. Maximize all the like sensations like that is going on with in the game, just with just, you know, DualShock on your hands. And like now we're extending to our body. There are like 300 different patterns that you can apply to just copy and paste the human, you know, all the sensations that we feel on our body in the game to the real life. We're like trying to make this experience as real as possible with ERM monitors at the moment. But then people like make fun of us sometimes. Oh, it's just a rumbling pack. Why do we have to pay $500?
Yeah. You know, before you try it, it's a very easy thing to think. And then you're in a game, and someone jumps out and shoots you and you get hit in the chest, or you know what I mean? Or something touches you and it will change your life. I mean, it was really cool.
It was the backpack for me, man. It was the backpack. Like you always think, oh, it must feel crazy to get slashed. Oh, it must feel crazy to get struck. Dude, dropping something in a fake bag on my back was the thing that blew my mind, because it used the rumble to make it actually feel like something was falling through a bag and landing at the bottom of it on my back. It was fucking insane. It's cool, dude.
My experience that blew me away was in Half-Life Alyx. You know, you put your hand on the station to fill up your health, and normally you feel the haptics in your hand as the little needles are touching, but then you feel the health actually going up and down your body and regenerating your health. And I always thought, like, when I was a kid, you know, like, oh, I wonder, you know, in video game land, what it would feel like to get your health restored. Well, now I know, and it is so awesome. It is really cool. It blew me away. That was my wow moment.
So this is really very exciting, because it's really, this is like kind of the first time where, you know, consumers, like real normal VR gamers out there are going to have the opportunity to get their hands on some of these things. Because before, BHaptic was a B2B or an enterprise or like a LBE kind of exclusive product. So can you tell us a little bit about like what the change has been for BHaptic, kind of switching from the B2B to the consumer, and like what kind of changes needed to be put into place in order to make that possible?
So BHaptic started making these haptic devices from 5 years ago, 35 years ago.
And you're like, oh man, where'd the time go?
Yeah, so we first had our first haptic arm sleeve with 6 haptic feedback points. And like in 2020, 2015, where everyone really believed in VR to grow massive and rapidly. Mm-hmm. So we made our haptic devices and also made our SDK for the developers to easily, really easily implement the haptic devices for the content. But as we all know, you know, most of the devs had like chicken or egg situation back then. So mm-hmm. for hardware companies to provide haptic suit for like less than $300, we need like significant number of contents for the users to play and solid user base for the game companies. So we have to provide our haptic suit for B2B first in order to survive and carry on. So thankfully, we partnered up with the largest arcade chains like Holygate and Sandbox. So we were able to test like hundreds of wearable haptic vests at arcades, where it is like used from like 10 to 7 every day, taken on and off like numerous times for a month. So after releasing like DK1 to DK3 series like over 3 years since like 2017, so we were only haptic suit company who could come up with the most stable, durable, and affordable with full warranty. So,
and it looks badass.
It does, man. I look shredded in this thing. It's awesome.
Yeah, you get like 6 packs.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
First 6-pack I've ever had. Normally, I have a keg. So,
a lot of people think that like our suit has been like around for a while, but then our suit was officially announced for consumer use this year, January at CES, like where I met you. Mm-hmm. So back then we had 2 games, Sariento and Thrill of the Fight on Quest. Mm-hmm. So it was like only 11 months ago, and then now we have like more than like 50 games, and then there will be more games.
That's amazing.
That is. Yeah.
So what does it take to get a game integrated, right? Because there's, you know, these developers are out there, they're super busy, you know, and like I've already noticed this a little bit reaching out, like I want to get Population 1 integrated, but good luck getting a word in edgewise with these guys, you know, like we need to like make it clear, I think, what it kind of takes in order for BHaptics to get integrated into a title. So what does it take?
To be honest, it only takes 30 minutes to implement the first haptic pattern. So, and they just need to download and import like SDK, haptic plugin from the Asset Store, try and pick haptic patterns in the library that we made. So there are like about 300 patterns. So as long as you know which patterns you want to apply, as soon as that's done, like it only takes about 30 minutes to implement it. So the whole process will take you about like a day, full day, to be honest. But I think the reason behind all these integration processes getting delayed is because, you know, they have so much on their plate already, especially for the Quest developers. So we already talked with devs from Population 1, you know, Dash, you know, Blaston, they are interested, but we just need some time to schedule everything.
Yeah, especially when you consider somebody like Big Box, because they drop Population 1 and then like next week content patch, next week extra content. Like they're like, they are dropping content on that game. Like they have not stopped, you know? Mm-hmm. So I really don't believe that they've actually had the extra time to do it yet.
Here's the deal, man. If they take the time to implement haptics into that game, I don't think I'll ever leave it. And that might be a problem. So I guess I'll have to leave the charge, but you know.
Well, I don't know.
I don't think they have enough sleep these days. Like their amazing. Yeah. Like, oh my God.
So, I mean, I'm not a developer, but it sounds to me like you've already got a pattern for dying. You've already got a pattern for an explosion. You've already got a pattern for a heavy gun or a light gun. So you can kind of just take them and like take the chunk and just plug it into the event in your game, you know, and kind of just be like, okay, there's a death. Has there ever been an integration of BHaptics that like failed to make the game less immersive? You know, like have you like tried to implement BHaptics into a game and been like, okay, like this doesn't help?
Let me think. There hasn't been any like release games in which the suit like made them less immersive, but obviously it is not perfectly fit like to contents without like many actions, like real VR fishing. We also found out that it is kind of hard to integrate the vest into racket-based sports like tennis, you know, golf, like table tennis and baseball.
So, I guess that makes sense. I mean, I guess you could get like an arm attachment for a tennis swing, but yeah, I mean, the hand haptics really do deliver quite a bit, like I mentioned earlier.
Well, I mean, it would be really fun if you could like, in, you know, table tennis, just smack the ball and have it hit someone in the face. Bing! Feel that. Yeah, that'd be fun. you know what I do want to ask though, because I'm all about what's happening in the future. VR is a super awesome future technology that is now, the future is now, and these haptics are amazing. But what do you think VR and haptics will look like or feel like in 15 years?
Oh, 15 years. It's a long period.
Yeah, it is a long time.
Because there are a lot of investments and researches for like small, thin, and like flexible display, and like fast and efficient processors, and like efficient and accurate, like AI algorithm, and small and long lasting batteries. So I think the VR, AR, MR devices would evolve tremendously compared to the current version. And as you can compare the brick block like cell phone in 1999 and like smartphone in like 2010, it's like huge difference. So however, in the haptic side, I think there will be still a long way to go to make it similar to our everyday life as we imagine in the movie Ready Player One. All about material technology for actuators. It's been like researched like over decades ago, and there are like materials like soft actuators, like piezo actuators, like all this delicate actuator, and they are expensive still. And with like despite of these researches, the reason behind is that our bodies are made up of really complex tactile mechanoreceptors, which transmits like all different haptic patterns and frequencies and like, pressure because of this complex like design of our like sensory receptors, unless there is a tremendous innovation. So current micromechanical devices are almost impossible to replicate natural tactile experiences. Unless we have massive innovation, we'll be just copy and pasting human sensory receptors with more delicate actuators in the future. So like, we need like innovative material that can deliver strong enough haptic feedback with small and thin form factors, like less than 10 millimeters. So also it needs to be power efficient, lightweight, durable, and easy to be controlled. But unfortunately, we haven't got many candidate materials that fits those requirements. So nevertheless, for consumer haptic suit, I think it will be still a combination of vibration patterns or pressure patterns. So also we can use force feedback, hot and cold sensors, and more expensive, delicate actuators to copy and paste our human sensory receptors.
I'm excited about force feedback technology to like really feel like you're interacting with virtual objects. You know, like haptics, of course, is like a virtual object interacting with you in a lot of ways. But like that force feedback, like you reach out and it feels like something is taking space in your hand, or maybe something clamps down on your arm and it feels like it's actually clamping down, you know, like that's definitely going to take stuff to the next level. And hopefully we see that in the next 10 years, 15 years, sounds like a long time.
Well, there's a lot of smart people working on this stuff, including V-Haptics, right? So like, you guys, man, you guys are doing a great job with what you're doing now. So I think you guys will probably be the market leaders, I'm I'm guessing, because I mean, how hard is it, right? Being at the very forefront of this technology and having to figure all this stuff out. You can't just copy someone else's product because no one's really done it before, you know? So this involves a lot of hard work to make this stuff work. And, people, I feel like kind of have to understand that initial price too, because all that research and development and all the materials and oh my God, man, you know, it costs a lot to make stuff like this. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it's like wearable, like we need a lot of tests. Mm-hmm. Staple.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't afford to give people two vests every time they buy one. So if you could, like, you know, like we've mentioned, you know, getting games integrated can be a process. You know, once a developer gets on board, it only takes a day basically to make it happen, but it doesn't always happen. Like we've mentioned, developers stay busy. If you could, like, just make any game work perfectly natively, just like magic wand status, like, what game would you love just to get the integration for?
Oh, it's hard to think, actually. There's so many games. For now, I am a hardcore Beat Saber player, so...
Yeah.
We do have some OpenVR mod for Beat Saber at the moment. So it delivers the haptic feedback on the hands to the body, as well as converting the sound. So it's kind of a mixture. I think it'll be really awesome if we get some feedback when we get perfect scores.
That'd be cool. Yeah, you like hit, once you get up to like the x8 multiplier, like, hits you with like a nice wave of goodness or something every second.
That'd be cool.
Like rewards you with the good feelings.
So like it'll be like when you implement these extra features, users will be able to feel like they're playing in the concert hall. When you play some instrument, you can feel like the vibration in real life. Just like that. Yeah. And also, Facebook Horizon is a must. I haven't played it myself yet in Korea, but in social VR, like, we can now hug and meet our friends in long distance, and like hug your grandmother, like your nephew, or your girlfriend.
I've watched some cool videos of people in VR chat and like, hugging. And so it's wild, right? That we can actually touch from across all that distance. And it's really cool stuff.
This is just the beginning, and I know I'm extremely excited to even play a small role in helping make this happen. It's just super, super exciting. You know, like I said, the X16 and the X40 really do represent a shift from this idea that, you know, something like this is only available at an arcade to now you can have it at home. You know, just kind of like the Quest has represented that shift of like expensive VR to consumer available VR. I really do feel like this line of vests is doing that for the world of wearable haptics. So thank you so much for all the work that you guys have been doing to make this possible, because as VR gamers, we love this shit. So and no one else is doing it, you know? So we're all very thankful that BHaptics is making this kind of thing happen.
No, we are thankful for like all the supporters. Like without them, like we're like nothing.
Right.
Just a rumbling pack.
Right. Well, and like you said, a year ago, Thrill of the Fight in Sorrento Untethered was not enough to get me into it on the regular. But now we have upwards of 70 games on the way, and with huge titles like Boneworks and Half-Life Alyx, like it's only a matter of time before people, you know, get a taste of it and see what they're missing. Very much like the jump from flat screen gaming to VR for a lot of people. You see it on screen, you're like, okay, yeah, whatever, it's cool. But then you try it and you're like, oh, it's
kind of the same like trying VR, right? People look at it on a screen and they're like, I don't know. Then they try it and they're like, oh my God, give me this now. Right. Exactly. And the Quest 2 price point has made it so people can now go out and afford VR without having to get like, you know, some crazy PC with it. And BHaptics is doing the same thing for haptics. I think you guys are making really awesome products, and the prices keep coming down instead of going up. So
it's just the beginning of haptics. So we're bringing, as I told you, more delicate materials, you know, lower price tag, maybe for body parts. What's before us is like amazing, but we need a lot of user base to start that off. So just take some time to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, things are getting kicked off, I think, the way that they need to with the X40 and the X16. I've been making videos every single day for the BHaptics YouTube channel, making like little like install guides and like gameplay guides and kind of just showing off all of the different games that are available for BHaptics. So do us and yourself a favor and cruise over to the BHaptics YouTube channel. We will leave a link in our description below and give us a subscribe there because A, your boy's there all the time, like every day, and B, you seriously won't believe how many awesome games are coming. So I think this is going to be a huge year for VR and a huge year for BHaptics. And, you know, I feel like we're wrapping it up now, but Jen, you know, is there anything that's been left unsaid or anything that you want to say in closing before we kind of get there?
No, not at all. Developers, reach out to me anytime. I'm waiting for you guys.
Reach out to you. And if she intimidates you because she's such a strong, powerful presence, you can hit me up too. And I'll give you the soft intro to Jen. I know she's like a power figure, you know, it can be tough.
No, I'm not.
No, just kidding. Jen, honestly, working with you is great. She's super nice. Developers, seriously, get on this because a lot of people are scooping these things up. And I know you guys want your games to be the best possible versions of them that they can be. I really only think that BHaptics can help. Steve, what are you thinking, man?
I'm thinking after the show, I want to play some games with some feedback.
Right, getting super hyped sitting here. You
yeah, man. Like I don't want to talk about it anymore. I want to play. That's great. I'm so excited that you were able to come on the show and join us. And, you know, the time difference is pretty big. You know, you're all the way in South Korea. We're in the States. And we appreciate you making the time out of your busy day to come out here and on the Between Reality ship, fly around with us in space and tell the world about awesome haptic stuff.
Thank you guys for like making me like not nervous and like a little friendly.
You got it.
That's what we do really here.
Awesome.
That's what we do on the Between Reality spaceship. Podcast.
All right.
You know what? In that case, we're not even going to kick you out. We normally kick off our guests before we end the show, but we're going to end this show with Jen on the show with us.
Nice.
You know, like I mentioned earlier, we didn't plan on this show being a part of our season, but with all this BHaptics excitement and with as much as I've been talking to Jen, we knew we just had to do something. So yeah. There you go, everybody. This was the BHaptics episode of Between Realities in between seasons. Jen, thank you for joining us. Skiva, thank you as always for piloting our Between Reality ship. And the chat, who we have not addressed or even mentioned or talked to this entire time, thank you for being here and being a part of it. We love you all dearly, and we'll see you in January for season 3. Go join our quest giveaway. Take care, everybody.
Bye.